Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host the show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, the destruction of the black family. Our guest tonight, Mr. Shango Amin, a recovering African, a race warrior, executing his function to execute this order. The family bond is one of, if not the strongest of human bonds. It reinforces attributes like connection or belonging, culture, beliefs, moral and ethical values, intimacy, identity, trust, accountability, dedication, strength, validation, and love. Impair or destroy the individual's capacity to form strong, meaningful bonds and destroy the capacity of the individual and the community to form strong, meaningful bonds. Family, just for all the listeners out there, definition of family is a family, the group of persons united by ties of marriage, blood, or adoption, constituting a single household and interacting with each other in their respective social positions, usually those of spouses, parents, children, and siblings. That's from Botanica.com. Because we know we have all kinds of families that we form. So, from provocative thought, the family is the first social entity that we interact with. It consists of the father, the mother, and the child, or children. Parents are the first teachers. What a child learns or doesn't learn will increase or decrease his capacity to survive and contribute to the survival of others in his community. That being said, if you impair or destroy the individual's capacity to form meaningful relationships, you impair or destroy the individual's capacity to survive, enhance the capacity of others to survive, develop close relationships, and share resources. From assignment point, roles of family and socialization. Socialization is a process in which culture is transmitted to younger generations and men learn the rules and practices of social groups to which they belong. The term socialization refers to the process of interaction through which the growing individual learns the habits, attitudes, values, and beliefs of the social group into which he has been born. Every society builds an institutional framework within which socialization of the child takes place. Culture is transmitted through the communication they have with one another. Communication thus comes to be the essence of the process of cultural transmission. The family is rightly called the cradle of social virtue, family being a mini-society act as a transmission felt between the individual and society. The family is the most important agent of socialization because it is the center of the child's life. As infants, we are totally dependent on others. If family teaches us about close relationships, group life, and how to share resources, family plays the most important role in the formation of the personality. Additionally, they provide us with our first system of values, norms, and beliefs. A system that is usually a reflection of their own social status, religion, ethnic group, and more. The family has informal control over its members. It trains the younger generation in such a way that it can take the adult roles in a proper manner. As a family is a primary and intimate group, it uses informal methods of social control to check the undesirable behavior on part of its members. The parents use both reward and punishment to check that behavior. So according to Robert K. Merton, the family, which is a major transmission belt for the diffusion of cultural standards to the oncoming generation, the family serves as the natural and convenient channel of social continuity. Personality development. They say that during the early childhood stages, from ages 2 to 6, children gain some sense of being separate and independent from their parents. According to Erickson, the task of preschoolers is to develop autonomy or self-direction. That's from ages from 1 to 3, as well as initiative or enterprise, ages 3 to 6. So they say, most experts agree that whatever the cause, an individual's personality is solidly established by the end of early childhood. That's ages from 2 to 6. So there's a lot happening from the ages 2 to 6 that make up children that make up adults. So at this point, I would like to introduce our guest, Mr. Shango Amen. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hey, greetings. Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here, and it's always good when families come together and talk. You know what I mean? The point of this show is an outgrowth of the problem. Yeah, you know, family doesn't get together and talk anymore. We don't get together and react anymore. You know what I mean? There was a time when the things that we take as commonplace on the news, everybody would have came out of their houses and hit the streets for it. You know what I mean? But now we've been desensitized and we've come to accept things as normal that are not normal, that are not normal to us. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'd like to start off by thanking God for the opportunity to be here. And because I'm a sane man with a healthy mind, I also like to thank Goddess, because it's the mother people that, you know, only those other people could come up with the concept of a God without the balance of a goddess.
Right.
So first I want to get that in order, and I want to talk about this situation. There's some prerequisites. There's some foundational things we have to talk about in order for us to talk about family, because family is who we are. Family is the primary unit in a functional community and therefore a functional society. You can't have a functional community or society without family unit. That's why
Right. Those
people have invested so much energy, our energy primarily, into warfare against it. But it didn't start out of nowhere. You got to put things in its proper context and its proper origin. And to do that, there's a few statements I make. First, it's been a race war from the door. You can look out in space and put together groups and have town meetings and try to look for the causes of our problems and this and that. It's not that hard. It's very simple. It's been a race war from the door. And we are trying to avoid our responsibility by naming it everything else, coming up with any kind of reason in the world as to what's going on and what's going wrong. But ever since these melanin recessive degenerative mutates emerged from the caves, we could argue all for another show about where they came from, but ever since they came out of the cave, it's been a war. I mean, it's been a war. And for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years, for centuries, for millennia, we slew them mercilessly without any problem. And then they finally decided to use technology. Say they didn't want to fight no more. And can we just live near you? You know what I mean? Can we trade with you? Things like that.
Let me stop you for a minute, Shango. Just for the listening audience of the specific people that you're talking to, can you put that in relate that to a more contemporary term, people that you're speaking about?
I'm talking about the whites and their offspring. See, a lot of people get confused. We are the only created race. Everything else came about. This ain't no hocus pocus. This ain't no wishy-washy super spiritual stuff. This is basic science. This is basic reality. You know what I mean? The white man, you know, your friend the white man, the guy you love so much, he documents our existence on this planet millions of years, right? He's got Lucy
right.
and all those other things. He said we've been on the planet at least 3 million years. I dare you to prove a white 30,000 years. So you put 3 million years, 30,000 years. 3 million years, 30,000 years. That amounts to a cold, an infection in the body of black humanity. These people just came about. They came about as a result of degenerative activity, lack of this and inbreeding and a lot of other things. But that's another show. But since they came here, they've been waging war on us. And it wasn't no overnight battles. In thousands and thousands of years, wave after wave after wave, where they finally started getting some success. So, you know, when they finally got, and they still, at this point, not if you don't understand, but they still don't have control of the whole planet, and they never will. So it's been a war. And in this particular, this is what you call headquarters. America is the headquarters of the white nation, you know what I mean, and their warfare, their war on the world. It's funny that, you know, they have books and all kinds of treaties. They got all kinds of things going on debating the war between the races, but they don't even consider us a factor in the war. You've got the Arabs, you've got the Asians, you've got the white Hispanics, and the whites. They're all fighting over domination of what? Africa and its resources and African people. And they basically counted us out. Why? Because they have waged war on the black family. The people who committed the worst Holocaust imaginable took the resources they garnered from that Holocaust and constructed institutions, programs, buildings, you know, to continuously to escalate and to mask the continuing genocide. It's the same genocide that happened in the so-called slave trade, which is a silly term, but the same genocide, the hundreds of millions of Africans that was murdered, dragged across Africa and across the waters, and on, they're still, the war is still going on. They've just institutionalized the warfare. You know what I mean? So you have to realize that the destruction of the black family was written into the blueprint for America, and all of its programs, policies, laws, resources, everything is devoted to keeping the black family separated. Because if the black family just come together and function, then they wouldn't have a chance. There wouldn't be any competition. There wouldn't be anything. Everybody, despite their warfare, you know what I mean, their tribal warfare. They always talk about our tribes wage war, but it was their tribal warfare that killed millions in World War I and World War II. But they all come together against us because they know if we get together, if we wake up and recover and decide to be who we are and stop being poor imitations of what they imitated from us, it'd be over for them. So, you know, people don't choose to be poor. People don't, you know, this is the result of policy. You know, you've got criminalization. You know what I mean? You've got the, even after the Holocaust of enslavement, when they so-called freed us, what do you call that? The emancipation, they tell you that you've been emancipated. You know, black folks hit the ground running, and they went to building. And they went to buying up stuff, and before you know, the turn of the century, they owned millions of acres of land. They had businesses. They were all in the legislative houses. They were everything. White folks went crazy. So they had to go on the wages, a war of terror, to try to hold us back, you know. And struggle here in America has always been about liberation and freedom from the oppression of these white folks. And if I dare anybody to show me where, at what point in our journey here, that we became Americans. We weren't born here to be Americans. And at what point did we become Americans? As far as my understanding goes, everybody who's an American, every group, you can have a Russian and come over here from Kazakhstan, whatever stand, and tomorrow he had more rights than the black man. He don't have to go to Congress. He don't have to go ask nobody for the Voting Rights Act. He don't need nothing. He's just an American, you know what I mean? But here we've been here, built America, and we still don't have access to America's opportunities. We're not beneficiaries of America. Like Malcolm X said, just because you at the table, you know what I mean? If you're not dying, you know, they're dying. We're not dying. We're victims of America. So all of his resources, all of his programs, all of his laws are devoted toward keeping us contained and basically working towards our elimination. They need to keep a few of us to help wait on certain things. But basically, we have no chance at equality here. And they keep giving you all kinds of foolishness to tell you that you're an American, you got the Voting Rights Act. They had the so-called Civil Rights Movement to delude you into thinking that you're equal here, and all the civil rights movement did was wage war on your great economic system, you know what I mean? and you fought the whole thing, put your women out there and let the white man tick dogs on them so that you could sit next to the white man at the lunch counter instead of opening your own lunch counter. These were all agents. These were all employees of the white man. So they've been waging war on you and the black family for all this time. But like I said, the struggle has always been about liberation. And every time people get hostile and they see you getting hostile and you starting to fight for your liberation, they come up with another trick to get you down. Last time it was people were fighting for liberation. They sent Martin Luther King and them down and turned a liberation movement into a civil rights movement. What is that? You know, they turned people into a civil rights movement. They distracted that righteous rage and that indignation into a movement that was detrimental. We didn't need integration. It killed us. You had a question? So and what they did was, so they murdered the brothers and silenced the brothers who were actually fighting for our liberation and organizing to reject this oppression. And then they sent in the house Negroes, you know what I mean, with and then they flooded neighborhoods with drugs. You know, I'm old enough to remember that. When they flooded neighborhoods with drugs to undermine the strength in the community, and then they took the civil rights Negroes and gave them drug programs so that they became enriched by being their brother's keeper. You know what I mean? And our community was assaulted. But what do? We reconstitute. No matter what they throw at us, we keep reconstituting. But they threw the civil rights movement. They set us back. They destroyed our whole economy. We fought to go get white folks our money and to go live next to white folks. And they flooded our communities with drugs. And then came the killer. Came back with the crack, cocaine. And that was one of the most devastating things that we're going to have to overcome. Because what they did in effect was destroy the whole. They broke the chain of generations. We always had the chain of our people have a transference of information. That's what family does. A family.
Right.
The older one, you know what I mean? He gives information to the young one. So now we got a whole generation that didn't get the benefit of Uncle Willie. And because you know, this is the first drug that came in and wiped out the postman, the teacher, the, you know what I mean, everybody. It just devastated the whole community. And the anchor, the mother, you know. So we got a whole generation of children who are peer to peer related. They had no old heads to give them any balance or background. And that's what we're feeling now, the repercussions of the destruction of the family structure.
Okay. So they had no transmission of cultural or standards and values and norms and things like that.
None of that. Yeah, see, we come from a family value. You know, who we really are, where it's supposed to be, is that your sister would not be able to find a mate, would not be able to find a husband in the community if you out breaking in people's houses. Don't nobody want to be bad, but that's a bad family. You know what I mean?
Right.
And the whole community would be on your uncle and your father, like, what's wrong with you? You're not controlling this kid. You know what I mean? Who's leading these children? It was a responsibility. I remember when we were young. It was a situation. I don't know, crazy sheet. And we were children. And they had it was a talk of some rats was on the block. The whole block was together. It looked like one of the Frankenstein movies with the pitchforks and the torches. Whole community, you know what I mean, came together and moved on the threat to the block. You know what I mean? They had a house that all the children from the block was in one house while the neighborhood went to war on these. This is what we are. This is the community. You know what I mean? We invent the community. We are a community. You know what I mean? You know, now you got a bunch of intellectuals who want to talk about some communists, you know what I mean, some other foolishness. You know what I mean? But everything relates around the family. The family has always been our anchor. The family, they come up with all these ridiculous woman-bashing movies and men-bashing movies about the family. And like, No, we've always had strong families, and that's part of our DNA. Like I said, this country is waging war. You know what I mean? Our deterioration now, situation now, if they decide to wage war on the black women, you see the incarceration of black women escalate. You know what I mean? They wage war on it. They basically criminalize being poor and every outgrowth of not getting money after they cut off the money, and then tell you you're a racist criminal. You know what I mean? And they come in and lock you up. You know what I mean? But we should think about, we should really, really think about why we as a people allow the world's greatest criminals, the world's worst criminals, to sit in judgment over our children. Why do we hand our children over to these maniacs? You know what I mean? Why have we delegated that responsibility to somebody that you know doesn't have your interests on? You know, somebody who allows these people to hunt your children in the street and murder them in the street, and we subject ourselves to them, to these people as the model of what's right, of righteousness and what should be allowed. No, we've got to wake up and recognize the assault on the family. We've got to take back ownership of our children, because you know the white cracker thinks your children belong to him. You know what I mean? They've got drag queens coming in your schools and teaching you, talking to your children, and they don't even tell you. You know, so the destruction of the black family is a war. You know, people don't see the black mother who invented civilization. Black mother civilization. She doesn't birth monsters. Monsters are created by conditions. Monsters are created by television and the organized assault on the black father in the household, you know what I mean? And then you force the mother out to work double jobs, you know, and who's left to raise the children? BET. They let BET raise your children, and then you get mad. So if your enemy educates your children, your child will become your enemy. You know, so everything that we're experiencing, the worst of what I tell people all the time, the worst in us you see is not us naturally. You know what I mean? This is the outgrowth. It's a calculated result of their nonstop assault. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? No matter how hard they try to convince us that our condition is our fault, that we should stop blaming the man for our suffering, that we are the cause of the crime, the drug addiction, poverty, and spirit plague in our community, we must never forget that the full weight of this society's resources built on our exploitation have always been devoted to keeping our families dysfunctional and our communities weak. You know, they won't fund a program that works. If a program works, they're going to cancel it the next year. They got us paying for the war being waged on us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, criminals are manufactured by policy, written by a corporate government, allies of millionaire mercenaries who got interests at odds with society. You know, we had the capacity, of course, every time we should do, we got to do it ourselves. Of course, we had the capacity to do for ourselves and uplift our community. But imagine how quick we could do it, not with government assistance, but without government interference. And people, we got the nerve to let suckers like Clinton come in our churches and lecture us on family values. Somebody could have got them cut us through. But the church keeps letting them in. It's clear that we are victims and not citizens of America. We should be equally clear that it's time to drop this delusional illusion of inclusion that keeps us dreaming that we have a chance to change our condition through participation in a political system that has shown us for centuries that it is unwilling and unable, due to its own selfish interests, to stop waging war against us. For us to expect this country to one day turn over a new leaf and start treating us fairly is like asking the gunman who shot you to work on your wound. You know, so yes, it is. It is selfish to do.
Okay, so, you know, some people might cut you off, but some people might say, well, they had a black president and a black governors and, heads of state in different places, stuff like that. So they might say,
yep.
How does that tie into what, you know?
I went into a Wawa and seen a black manager. You know what I mean? That's a clerk. When you have a president is a clerk. He's a manager of a system that's already in place. He doesn't come in and dictate policy. He doesn't change policy. He doesn't do anything. He administers what he's been hired to administer. You know what I mean? And if you believe that the people did what they did to us, the people who committed the most heinous crimes. I mean, the Holocaust that they committed against our people. Do you think that you hijacked the world's resources? Do you really? It's time for us to stop being children. It's time for us to grow up and stop being cowards. Because that's the people hiding behind that illusion. If you think those people would risk that power and wealth to a vote, to your vote, come on, Mary, we got to give up the jet. The niggas then voted us out. They to put a good guy in there. We can't break from Robin no more. You got to be a plum fool to even entertain that nonsense. That these people, that there's some good and evil called Democrats and Republicans who are struggling to one struggling to hurt you and the other one struggling to help you. You have to be a plum fool. And anybody who believes that there's some difference between a Republican and a Democrat and that an election has ever, they've got a couple hundred years of history where you hear that an election ain't never changed nothing. So if anybody who still falls for that foolishness, you know what I mean, should have their parental rights scrutinized. They might need to take a test, an evaluation on their sanity because, really, that's not an adult. You know, like they say, sanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. You know what I mean?
Right.
Nobody. You can't possibly believe. Nobody's ever. Now you get a few Negroes who get a higher standard of living in exchange for selling you that dream, but never equal, and none of them ever walk away from it. Look what they do to their Negroes. Look what they did to Bill Cosby. He was a good boy. Did everything they told him. All the drink came down and spit in his people's face, talked about us like a dog, blamed it on. That's America's biggest thing. Blame the victim. He helped them prepare. But when they got through with him, they ran a penny. You know what I mean? It's the political, for you to believe that you can vote yourself out of this, that's pure foolishness and complete cowardice. That's a cowardice because you're leaving your future in the hands of people that want to kill you. These people demonstrate daily, every day. They demonstrate their determination to remove you and your children from the planet. And you go, you watch Super Bowl. I mean, you watch football games on the weekend. You know what I mean? And on Saturday, and hope everything's gonna be all right. You leave your children. You won't leave your children. You invest your money in $1 million churches and won't build a factory. Don't produce nothing. Won't even produce the toilet paper that you use. Don't produce anything. You know, you leave your future in the hands of the people who are proving their willingness to destroy you, proving their determination to destroy you, and you won't do anything.
Right. So you won't vote. That's being taxed, that taxation without representation for those who are in that situation and voting. As we know, the president, we don't elect the president. I don't know if people really got that, but the president is elected by the Electoral College. You get to vote. So I guess that right to vote just means, you can cast a vote. But he's actually elected by the Electoral College, so...
I think they all been in a hotel drinking the night before. They done already. They done already planned out. It's like wrestling. You know what I mean? The election is like wrestling. They pretend they go do all the moves. You say this, I talk about you. You talk about. But these are all the same people. And all these people, when they're not in public office, they're on the boards of the same corporations that waging war on the people. You know what I mean? All right, they go do 3 years here, then they go 3 years back on the board, like Cheney. Cheney, I mean, it's so obvious. They don't, you know, and they said they call you pitiful for if you get some government assistance when every corporation in the world is on government assistance. You're paying for every corporation in the world. Lockheed Martin handles processes the child support payments. You know that? The child support payments go through Lockheed Martin. You know, that's foolish.
So, back to the this focus on destruction of the black family. So why if somebody, you know, would want to ask, why are Caucasians so fixated on destroying black folks in the beginning? And, you know, I can see now, you know, you got this struggle. You know, people don't want to give up power, like you said. Nobody's going to surrender. Nobody's going to say, well, it's time for me to leave paradise or share paradise with somebody I don't want to share it with because they voted me out. Nobody's going to go for that. And not too many people will go for that. Once, if you've been doing that for years or centuries, you're not going to do that. That's just not part of your culture, not part of your thinking. That's in terms of their socialization. They've been socialized to maintain power. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not even social. It's basic reality. I mean, it's basic sense. If you have 1% of the population consuming 40% of the world's resources, you know that you can't go maintain that rate without killing off a bunch of these Negroes. So the plan is to kill off as many Negroes as possible and only keep a few hundred thousand around to help serve them. That's why you got Bill and Melinda Gates in Africa administered sterilizing Africans with vaccination programs in there. Everything they do is a war against black. You got to understand who these people are. It's not political. It's not emotional. People be telling white folks hate you. They don't hate you. They're not incapable of hate. Hate is actually a good thing. Hate is actually the act of rejection. You know what I mean? That which is not good for you. If your body didn't hate every day with your immune system rejecting cells that then went bad in your body, you would die. No, hate is good. They don't hate. They covet. You know what I mean? We're dealing with a being that has no connection to nothing. They can't connect with plant life, animal life, the elements, the air, the water, the earth. They're at war with everything. They can't even connect to their own children. This is who they are. People keep trying to understand them. They can't do anything else. If they were able to somehow find a way to kill all of us, which they keep trying and we keep coming back, we keep fighting back. If they were able to somehow get rid of all of us, it would go back to killing each other. And they would go back to killing each other, and the last one would kill herself. That's who they are. Mm. That's just what they are.
Hey, we got to call.
They can't act outside of their nature.
We got to call Ashango. Hello, caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I was just listening to the show, Brother Carlton, and it's funny that you had this show because earlier today, something came across my phone from YouTube about Europeans and their extermination, that they just did a poll and found out that white women are not having babies at the rate that they used to have, that they're opting out of having babies, and so is Japan. But that made me think that these people are in survival mode, and they're going to get rid of who and whatever they can, and especially the black man, so that they can survive. And it seemed like that's what they've been at war with us, is survival. They're like a disease, and they're diminishing, and they're just trying to make sure they don't fall and don't exist. And it's like the brother said, I don't even think it's just a hatred thing. I think it's an embedded thing in their DNA, like cancer. It's going to try to keep surviving. It's going to kill off whatever the host is, whoever it is, and then eventually it's going to kill itself. But and that's what I took from this video that these people sent me, you know, which was talking about depopulation and the Georgia Guidestones and Africa, how they over in Africa, and this plan that Trump had also with having people going back to Ghana and the president from Ghana having people come back, you know. And that kind of made me think that if we go back, we're in a local area. They can just kill off as many people as they want, as far as Africans or Black Americans.
Bring some vaccines, huh?
Not just the vaccines. I mean, just kill you. They just had
you mean straight murder, huh? You mean just straight conventional
straight murder.
Kill?
Yeah, straight murder. Straight murder. Something else came across and said that they have some type of germ warfare that's going to be coming out soon that'll kill off 30 million people. And
you mean
I
another
think it's something
type of germ warfare? You mean another type
another,
of germ warfare?
Another one. Well, this one had been around for a while, but it came from dead corpse. So it's something about dead corpse, which is kind of funny, you know, because they got all these FEMA coffins around. So they playing in something. You know, as far as we're concerned, I think we're so out of touch with the reality, we don't even know we're in a war. So many of us are going to die off, and it ain't going to be by the hands of white folks. It's going to be by the hands of foolishness. You know, not paying attention, like not even listening to your show or other shows speaking the truth or trying to get to the bottom line. But anyway, I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay, brother.
The brother made excellent points because he told you it's been the fact that there's been a zero population. They're dying. They're leaving it. See, but we're dealing with a beast that knows he's dying. Most of them know they're dying. The other ones are still trying to find ways to tie into the divine and stuff. That's why all of a sudden it's so acceptable to have the interrace, intermix, miscegenation is all of a sudden acceptable because
right.
some groups of them are trying to survive that way by trying getting some black in them. You know what I mean? But here's a beast that knows he's dying, but he just wants to take you with him. You know what I mean? See, that's why there's always been the thing about him with the nuclear powers because he don't care. He'll blow them bombs knowing he's going to kill his own. What kind of guy? He wages war. Do you know they use? They're so petty that they use depleted uranium, which lasts for millions, makes the planet radioactive. Uranium they didn't use, so they ain't nowhere to put it except stockpile, and they ain't know what to do with it. It's radioactive. So you know what these suckers did? They used it to make ammunition.
Mm.
They talk all this about all this veterans love, how they love the veterans. They don't give a goddamn about nobody fighting for them. They got them out there shooting weapons that is killing them. It's they all come back with diseases and cancer and stuff because they gave them radioactive bullets. So this is the kind of this is what we're dealing with, you know what I mean? And their intention is to kill off as many of us and keep a couple hundred thousand to serve them, you know what I mean? In Africa, they plan on killing as much of us as possible. And you know, see, you got to look at it. They think long term. They plan a long time. They take a mill here, a mill there, a couple hundred thousand there, 50,000. They got systems in place, millions of them. They got, you know, with the food and the poisons and the atrazine and, you know, but the big thing, one of the biggest initiatives, is that's why you see this major push for homosexuality. They've always been homosexual. That's who they are. That's in their nature. But they didn't feel comfortable enough to show it because they knew what nobody respect a homosexual, and they figured they could never win the war. But now they think they've actually won. They actually think they're winning the war. They think they won. If you go downtown any evening, you'll see they all down there sitting with their fingers, pinkies up in the air. The white folks is having it. They think they won. You know what I mean? They down there celebrating. They really think they won. But these people are willing to take us all up. So the reason why, like you said, the homosexual thing is because if you've got a race of people you've been at war with since you've been here, and no matter what you throw, these niggas took everything. These black folks took everything they threw at them. And it's like sitting there frustrated. What can we do? What can we do? We just threw everything at them. We even had them. We tricked them into turning their underwear into outerwear. We didn't do everything in the world, but what can we do? I know if we get the men to want men and the women to want women, it's checkmate. That's the final solution, man. To beat a race they couldn't beat.
Depopulation or self-depopulation?
Right. That's the checkmate move, along with everything else they try to do. You know what I mean? But you know, we all know the beast don't win. But there are things that bothers me and that drives me, and guys like us, is that I know that they ain't, guys like you and me, know that they ain't half of what their television shows promote. Super white man, that's a myth. That's a nonsense. If he was any of what he say he is, we would already be gone. He ain't nothing. He can't beat me. He been trying to kill me my whole life, and I am. He is nothing. So I know that the only thing that holds him up is a choice. If we choose not to support him, we choose not to, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, people talk about the ratchet Negroes and the little black criminals and this, that, and the other, and this, that, and that. But in a lot of ways, it's the good Negro that is the problem. The law-abiding Negro who helps, who faithfully turns the wheels for the thing, because this beast couldn't do this without us. He couldn't do it without our cooperation. You know what I mean? Back when India was having its independence struggle, the Indians, there was a guy right before Gandhi. That's why they let Gandhi be famous. There was a guy called Bal Tata, who was the leader of India. And he said, if you ain't willing to fight, I understand everybody ain't ready to rumble. If you ain't willing to pick up the gun, if you ain't ready to go to war, if you ain't ready to die, the very least you can do is not cooperate. Stop cooperating. Stop building his guns for him. Stop building his. Stop going to work for him. Stop, you know, you can shut him. We still, at this point, we're still in a position to shut this thing down because we turn the wheels. We turn the wheels. And I tell everybody, and I'm going to tell you again, if we really wanted to show this beast, if we really wanted to show ourselves how powerless this fool is, and we would stop giving our children to him. Every day across the country, hundreds of thousands of our children walk into them so-called justice centers and hand themselves over to them criminals. What if they didn't show? One day. Y'all better come on. 2 days. I mean it now. I'm getting mad. You better come on down. 3 days. All right, now this is the last chance. You better come on down. I'm going to give you amnesty if you come in there. But by then, the count is millions. It's a couple hundred thousand every day. So by then, it's millions. What are they going to do? Call in troops to go get them? They're going to get warrant squad? They're going to send a warrant squad out? Philadelphia is a major city, and they ain't got but 30 people in the warrant squad. What are they going to do? You see how powerless they are. All you have to do is stop cooperating. We cooperate with our own genocide. We willingly go in as if this cracker has some right to our body, some right to our children's lives. He doesn't. But we keep going on. We help. We go down faithfully. As long as he let us watch the Eagles on Saturday and Sunday, we okay. These people are hunting our babies down in the street. Hunting you down, I mean, and, you know, we do nothing. We don't do nothing.
So
no other race in the world. Could you imagine black cops going up in Northeast and shooting them little kids down there? You think the white man would allow cops to go up in and shoot his children?
No.
Anybody, any race, any animal. We're the only creature on the face of the earth that will not protect his children. The American Negro.
So what is it that the so-called American Negro want? Is he wants to assimilate? He wants to be like his master? Or what is it he want? He just want to, what is it? What do he want? Material
he
gain?
What
do
he
want?
He don't want to be free. You know what he wants? A lot of people going to, he just wants master to take it out a little bit. Let him enjoy his washing machine and his big screen TV. Or don't be so mean. All Cracker got to do is give him a hug and he's all right.
Man.
He don't want nothing. You know what I mean?
Continue to rape him, huh?
Yeah, he don't mind. He don't mind. Just don't hurt so bad. Just don't embarrass me in front of my wife. you know what I mean? The chance, the opportunity is that. Instead of going to work every day and hoping somebody and negotiate at the end of the week for what you get. Why not grow up and build for yourself? It's simple. You know, it's really time for black folks to get together and have the discussion as to what it would take for us to form a pot. They got books that come out every year. They got studies that come out every year. They know how much collard greens we eat in Chicago. They know how much corn we eat in Philly. They know how much. All we got to do is access that same information and decide to do it ourselves. All we have to do is take these petty pennies that we have that we give to the Chinese every morning for breakfast, you know what I mean, and Gucci for pocket. We run around talking about how much money we got. We ain't got nothing. We got a servant income. All our jobs are government related, you know. So if we would take those pennies and pool them and buy the equipment or the resources necessary to build first what we consume over lights out. Now and then, of course, we got to come up with a way to defend it, because he ain't just taking it, and that's why nothing happened. That's why, you know. That's why everybody's sitting up in church talking about everything's all right. You know what I mean? Because they scared. You know, they know the white man coming to burn your house down and kill your babies. But guess what? He already coming to burn your house down and kill your babies. So you might as well get up and do something. Get up off your ass and do something. But you ready to get the money to Reverend Chicken Wing, you know what I mean, who gets taxed, who gets to keep it tax-free, because as long as he garners all that energy up, and don't let it go to nowhere. Don't let it do nothing. He gets a tax break. He's allowed to rape the community. You know what I mean? As long as he don't do nothing for it. Church that own every supermarket in the city. Church that own every... We should be making something. All that money, all them billions and billions and billions that the church took in over the years. You know what I mean? Over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Reverend Chickenway, all the resources in the community are tied up in church. You know, everybody's
things that don't really help
about
the community. That's what you're saying, right?
Right,
you're saying
right,
church
right,
being something that's, well, not helping the community.
I'm saying the money's there. What does it do? It don't even pay like that. I'm saying everybody's running around howling about talking about Junebug on the corner with the package. Junebug ain't the problem. Reverend Chicken Wing do more damage with that pie in the sky. Anybody that comes out and tells you to enjoy your suffering, get whooped, take your abuse, suffer through life, struggle through life, you go, some white man going to pay you off after you die, need his head chopped off. That ain't no religion. So it's more than just holding up the money. He's selling dreams that he can't catch. And so now you got a bunch of Negroes don't want to do nothing, won't do nothing. These niggas did work 20 years for the city, worked 20 years for the city, retired buy Cadillacs and chase young girls, and leave their children to be on the street spending for themselves. We addict our children to things we don't produce. You're talking about the destruction of the black family. We addict them to Nike. Children don't know nothing about no damn Nike. They don't know nothing about none of that stuff till we teach them. We addict them to the Nike, and then when they 15 and they ain't cute no more, they ain't funny, they little sayings ain't nothing, we cut them off, and they got to go out and rob and steal, you know what I mean, in order for a girl to respond to them. If they ain't got them on, the girl ain't going to respond to them properly. So this is awful. And then we get mad when we can't go outside. They waiting to take our heads off. They need to take your head off, because you didn't build anything for them. You didn't leave nothing to jump off from. They should kill the Negro. Why the Negro ain't safe? You run around, you so happy to spend your money with somebody. You get your house done by the Dominican. You get your house done by everybody. That money you save, now you're a prisoner in the house because you didn't feed them yumbles on the corner. Now they're going to get you, trying to make it to your Cadillac. Niggas deserve to get robbed. Negroes deserve it, because they failed their children. We fail our children over and over again. These children don't have nothing to start from. Every other race provides a platform for their children to jump off from. We don't do nothing. We gave it to Reverend Chicken Wing, you know what I mean, while he's trying to do your wife. Tell you what it is. I'm talking about this is not no accident. This is organized warfare. You know what I mean? Everybody else is waging organized warfare against us. And what do we do?
Okay, you ever hear of the Moynihan narrative?
You talking about Patrick Moynihan?
Yeah, right. They talked about how government created the racist classist policy that incentivated the dissolution or non-formation of black families, then problematized black people for not having them. So that the welfare department had a rule that no able-bodied man could be in the house if a woman received aid for dependent children. What do you think about that?
Yeah, Moynihan. Yeah, I'm familiar with Moynihan. They're the whole. I mean, the whole thing was organized warfare. Jesus Christ, warfare against the family, and nobody was more complicit in it than the black clergy and the bourgeois black electoral class. They cooperated, worked in Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson started off against abortion. Got that money, man. Look, man, and then he started advocating for choice. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We talking about genocide. Over 14, more deaths than anything that ever happened to black people in America. 14 million babies aborted. All that was done by the black was organized. You know what I mean? You bring in and put a welfare. You have white women act like they want the right to abort, and then you set up every abortion clinic in the middle of the black community. And you know what I mean? You gotta understand, it's all been a warfare. Back to these oppression struggles. There was an oppression struggle. Black folks, black workers was fighting crack violently. Walter Williams, you know what I mean? There were groups where people who were raising up and organizing to fight white oppression in America. Everybody wasn't out here taking the dogs to the face and letting their women get beat up. No, it was warfare. You know what I mean? Negroes was ready to tear this country up. And what'd they do? They sent their women. See, when the white man's in trouble, his dog, the white woman, the dog of the planet Earth, come to his rescue. What did she do? She came out. They sent CIA and them, sent Gloria Steinem and them out and hollering about women's rights. Black woman, I understand your struggle. Yo, man, who had the power to oppress black women? Wasn't no black man. It was a white man. But the white woman came out and diverted a large part of our energy and diverted the family structure, telling us that the black man was the black woman's enemy. They created that. Feminism and all that stuff. Where'd that come from? That ain't black. That came from the white woman who came out to help her white man. All this was created. All this was organized warfare. You know what I mean? You remember, where'd that come from? They came. You know? Yeah.
Okay, so.
It was invented.
Now, some people might say that there's more white people on welfare than black people, numerically.
That's true.
But it's the largest percent of black people on welfare than whites. So what do you think about that situation?
What? I'm sure
are they collateral
more,
damage?
I mean,
those whites?
No, they're not collateral damage. They just get. There's nothing wrong with welfare. If it was wrong, Boeing wouldn't get it. Chase Manhattan wouldn't get it. Lockheed Martin wouldn't get it. You don't see none of them putting their head down. Ain't no white man ashamed of getting welfare. They just try to make a stigma on black people. Tell me, you ain't nobody as you, because you getting some help. Everybody else getting it. Chrysler got welfare.
Oh, scapegoating the black man. Because the face of welfare, some people have tried to make black families, you know, the face of, or minorities, the face of welfare, which is not.
Exactly. They try to they play mind games. They play illusions. They got you down there feeling ashamed, and you ducking your head. You know what I mean? Because you,
well,
you went down and got
dead.
Some free stuff from the government. But here, we the only one paying tax. So if anybody got a right to some welfare, wouldn't that be us? Who got more right to
so.
Welfare? The country, we built the country, and after we built the country, Cracker said, you niggas ain't going to work again. That's when they cut the black man off. They let us build America, and then they brought in every other ethnic group in the world, invited them in the and told them they did it. They got a couple jobs finishing off a couple bridges, and they come down, but they built America. Black man built America. Then they said, you know what I mean? They do the videos like the Chinese built the railroads, niggas built the railroads, niggas, black folks built this country, and haven't worked since. Black man, not respectfully. We've never worked respectfully.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's never worked any dignity. He's been abused. You know what I mean? And but we built for ourselves until Martin Luther King came down and was sent down there to disrupt energy. You know what I mean? And disrupt uprising. That's what it was. It was an uprising. It wasn't no protest. It was an uprising. They were uprising. We were having uprisings around this country. Like Malcolm said, you know what I mean? If you can't get your house in order, maybe your house should have some trouble. Maybe it's your house should catch on fire. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it was going down. You know what I mean? So they said the niggas, and before anybody gets mad about me talking about that Martin Luther King, he's the worst thing that ever happened. I don't care. You know what I mean? Anytime your enemy celebrate him, tell you to celebrate him, they pretend like they didn't want to, but that's what they wanted you to do, to celebrate somebody that said, come on and let me beat the shit out you. You know what I mean? Celebrate a nigger who, when they bombed a black church with four little girls in it. You know what Martin Luther King said?
No, what he
Martin
said?
Martin Luther King, they brought him in. Martin Luther King said, if blood must be spilled, let it be our blood and not the blood of our white brother. That's what they sent him in there. The quash that they Negroes was ready to tear that thing up. Down there when they bombed the little girls. They sent that Negro in there to put the fire out. You know what I mean? The same nigga. Nigga, they always talk about Martin Luther King, but then everybody listened to a couple little sound bites and, you know, draw their conclusion, think he was such a good thing. I don't know what's good about getting your ass whooped and all that kind of stuff. But if you read Martin Luther King's letters from jail, he wrote letters in jail, and his letters in jail, when he's in jail, his letters in jail was basically saying, white man, please, Mr. White man, choose me, support me, get behind me before they get behind them crazy niggas like Malcolm. That's what his letters from jail said. I mean, just as clear as you can, as I can put it. He said, please, choose me. I'm your safe nigga. You better come get me. Well, them niggas stay up your country. So I got nothing for him because he disrupted. They had a meeting there at the Black Power Conference in Indiana, and they all went there, and there were people that was arguing economic answers and solutions to the problem, and him and the House Negro crew heads argued for this political stuff, which is bullcrap, because the politics game is a white crime. That's how the white man, the whole election stuff, that's how the white man get the little poor whites to go out and do his murdering all around the world. Because you giving powerless people the illusion that they have some input on their lives when they don't. You know what I mean? So we seen that, and we said, well, let's get some of that. And the white man said, no, you don't. They're not coming down and kill you, nigga. And they kill some. That's why these fools run around talking about your ancestors died for the right to vote. No, they didn't. So once they did that, they tell them you can't have it. So they said, oh, that must be the thing. They tell us we can't vote, so vote must be our solution. So they all ran and put all their energy in voting. The political power is political. Politics ain't even power, it's influence. These niggas are so happy to be influencers. They even got a term for it, influence. You ever see, you see the newspapers, yeah, they put out a list every year, the magazines, 100 most, 100 richest, 100 most powerful, 100 everything. What do the black list be? 100 most influential Negroes. You ain't got no power, but you got the ear of a couple of big white folks. So you somebody. A couple of white folks listen to you. Man, I'm telling you, the whole problem is it all boils down to the choice. We go around, you know what I mean? We do not have to accept this assault. There's a war going on against the black community. It's been one since we got here. You know what I mean? It's always we're engaged in a war to extinction against the whites and the offspring. And I dare anybody who can construct a logical argument that says anything other than war against us. What do we have? What can we do? When did we become an American? The Voting Rights Act? That got to get renewed every so often. The Civil Rights Bill? Are you kidding me? Nobody else needs any of that nonsense. You were not born here to be an American, and you'll never be one. And you shouldn't want to be part of this genocidal, homicidal mania. You know what I mean? Something's waging war against you. Somebody is hunting your children. And it's obvious. It's not known. Just because you get they allow you to, you know, to have a nice car, live in a nice neighborhood. They got a few, I heard this is a saying, it says, they ain't before kind of people. Lions, tigers, monkeys, and dogs. And the monkeys is the entertainers, the musicians, the actors. You know what I mean? They have no power. You know what I mean? But they put them up like they're something because they get a lot of, like, nice looking stuff, so they look like they're rich. They don't have any power. You know what I mean? You would see no other group. Has Trump brought any Korean entertainers to see him?
Hmm.
That's the most insulting thing I can imagine. Yeah, any Hispanic entertainers? Is the black? No other race would allow that. Allow power to negotiate, alleged power, to negotiate with the entertainers, with their entertainers. Kanye West is leading the race now. What's the other guy? Say,
Jim Brown, Kanye West, and somebody else is up there.
And what's the fool? What's his name? King of the Comedy Boy. He's a real clown. Steve Harvey, yeah, he's a complete Negro. You know what I mean? He's a nigga denounced slavery. You know what I mean? Well, anyway, but it's you cannot tell me, you know, that it has not been a war against the black family. When I grew up, you could not call a black woman a bee. You couldn't do anything that's commonplace now. You know, it's been a constant assault on the psyche and values of black folks. You know, and if you can go, you could quantify it by decade. The inroads that they've made against our race just by going through in the 40s, what they did to us in the 40s, what they did in the 50s, the way they accentuated the warfare. It's organized warfare. Organized warfare is subsidized by our own labor. The resources that this country has is using these resources against us. You've got policies. The policies are written. The laws, do you think the laws are written to benefit the black community? No. Anytime you got white kids killing people and getting probation because, you know, poor kids suffer from too much wealth. You know what I mean? It's not his fault. I mean, are you kidding me? They don't even pretend that there's any equity in this thing. They don't even pretend like you're a human being. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You got the police come out and tell you that, we investigated, and you know what? We're innocent again. Every time we see one of your babies, you know what I mean? I mean, they're coming in houses, gunning black women down, you know, shooting little girls in the face. Because, I mean, no regard for human life, because we're not regarded as human life. There's never been a penance for the murder of blacks. And for us to keep begging and asking for somebody, like I said, making excuses for them as if we haven't come up with the words yet to convince white people to treat us fair, that we're as good as them. That's what these Negroes act like. We're just not saying it right. You know what I mean?
Right. Okay, I want to make correction. The Moynihan report. That from that report, the government created those racist, classist policies. Moynihan left some things out in his report. Daniel Patrick Moynihan, mentioned about him, but the government created the racist classist. Yeah, basically he left some things out and intentionally left some omitted. Tangible policy recommendations, and that's when they create all these policies regarding housing, schools, mass incarceration of poor black family people and stuff like that. Because we know that there's been evidence that blacks and minorities are targeted by the quasi-military forces, police force, and in this country, they always have been targeted. As we know from since they, brought us over here, our ancestors over here, up until today. We still have the same problem. It's nothing new. We just hear about it more because we have this huge media access to all this media stuff right in your back pocket. You know what I'm saying? So
right. We got,
we got
phone,
all that
right.
Going on. Yeah. So now we see them say, oh, bam, wow. But to me, that all that's going on because it's always been going on. That's why it can't stop because you have a cell phone. It's not going to stop because it's not that. That's not the source of it. The source of it is not just, it just started happening. So, old habits die hard. So you have more cell phones you want. You know what I'm saying?
Especially after you see people. They tell you that every day with the cell phone video, and there's still nothing happens to them. No, it's going to happen. White men are going to abuse black people until black men stand up and give them a reason not to.
Right. So, in terms of family values, black folks, or what would be a reason why that more people aren't just more serious about relationships and hooking up and things like that and being a family?
Well, they're engineers. It's called social engineering. You know what I mean? Like I said, when they got popped out the house and mom out the house and BET, came in, so BET and R. Kelly and all the little perverts and the sick stuff and
twerking. I see little girls doing
things,
that.
These things became natural. These things became
right.
These became the norm. You know what I mean? And it's terrible. You set a destructive catalyst in motion, it's going to perpetuate itself. You know what I mean? More women going to jail, getting dyke, turning into dykes, and you know what I mean? You got the homosexual assault going on now. You got children being raped in school. This whole no bullying policy, zero tolerance of violence. Do you think this cracker developed a desire to protect your child? No, that was a desire that was put in place to protect the homosexual child from being straightened out. Because when up in school, kids can be mean. We would traumatize a homo, traumatize them. You're not going to be comfortable with that behavior in our community, and it should have been left alone. You know what I mean? Now they protect the bully. Now me and you have a fight. and the police comes, instead of me getting, and I wanted to fight, instead of me getting an assault charge, all you got to do is say you gay, and I get an extra 15 years as a hate crime.
It's a federal offense now, right.
Right. You know what I mean? We fell for all that. Al Sharpton and the Negro, they took buses down to Washington to petition and protest for anti-noose laws and for hate crime, you know what I mean, hate crime legislation, not knowing that all they're doing, setting the stage for, you. I mean, you imagine that, the audacity, how ridiculous is that for a government to be able to legislate hate, your ability to hate? So that should tell you that hate is not a bad thing. If hate was a bad thing, your government wouldn't be trying to stop you from doing it, wouldn't be able to control you, because all that means is your ability to reject him. You know what I mean? So, they're protecting the little faggots in school. The little homosexuals. You got kids being molested, little children grabbing, being molested in the coat room. But now they've escalated into like real gangs where children are being raped. You know what I mean? Being raped. Young girls are being raped in these charter schools around Philadelphia, Universal. You know what I mean? Right down in all these little, you know, being raped because the homosexuals are being protected.
So you're saying they're same sex gangs raping raping girls?
Girls raping girls.
So is that a federal offense? Because it seems like it's a federal offense to do that to harm one of them
It's only a federal offense if she hits one back. If she goes home and she goes to the leader's house with her dad's pistol and blow her brains out, you know, which should happen, you know, which I defend my child to the end of the earth, you know what I mean? But you cannot fight them back, because if they're gay, it's a hate crime. If they call themselves gay, which is the most ridiculous shit in the world. You know, we got this whole transgender agenda. You know, I mean, this is crazy. I mean, if I had chosen, do you think I would allow a male to go in my child's school and call and say he wants to be a girl and wrestle my daughter, box my daughter, or run against my daughter, or play against my daughter? That's sick. You got all these damn big he-man, wannabe trans, that's like transgender people dominating sports across the country because people are stupid enough to entertain some foolishness. You're going to tell me I don't respect, you know, who you are. No, you didn't respect who you are. You respect who you are, you'd be over there and the boys and getting, but now you want to dominate girls, so you going to say you a girl. You know what I mean? Yeah. Really, in my heart, I'm really a paraplegic. You know what I mean? So could you cut my legs off? You take me straight to the nut house. But if I tell you I'm really a girl, you want to cut my dick off of me? You mutilate me, or you know what I mean? You will. They're right. Mutilating children. Children are being mutilated over this psychological nonsense, over this bull. And you gonna tell me, you know what I mean? They are mutilating children. They're allowing children to choose, and it's already removed. Kids, you know what I mean? They interview the kids better, and they say, "Oh, you know," they get to the bottom of it, and they find, "Well, why don't you want to be a girl?" Well, my mom used to love me until, you know, they had the little sister. But then they was loving the little sister. You know, treating her, you know what I mean? So I thought if I was a girl, they'd love me again. You know what I mean? You know, it all comes down to foolishness like that, you know? But they're entertaining this stuff and promoting this stuff and promoting, because their ultimate goal is a genderless world anyway. That's their thing. You know, they want this androgynous whatever you feel like. Today I'm a girl, tomorrow I'm a boy. You know, that's the way they want to live. That's the way they want the world to go. You know what I mean? But, you know, like I said,
what would be the purpose of that?
Purpose of that is anti-life. They're anti-life. I told you, if they stop getting resistant and go back to killing each other, and then the last one's going to blow his own brains out. That's who they are. You're talking about a melanin recessive degenerative mutation. See, we have the biggest problem with black folks have, you know what we keep suffering from? We suffer from extending our humanity incapable of it. See, we're reacting to them from a standpoint as if they are human, like they are like us. They are not us. We are not them, and they are not us. They're incapable. They are incapable of connecting with their own children. Why don't white kids go? They graduate and move, they go to college, and move cross country, and wait for their parents to die. They ain't gonna get the money. That's who they are. That's who they've always been. They don't have any way of connecting. They don't, because they were not. You know what I mean? It gets into a spiritual thing, but they were not divinely created. They have no way of connecting to the universe, to the energy of the universe. They have no way of tying it. And it's like the old movies. You know what I mean? When you see the robot that's jealous of the human.
Because
right. They're incapable. Well, that's who it is. Cancer cells, what do cancer cells do?
What do who?
They attack healthy cells. Cancer cells.
Oh, cancer
do they do?
Cells, yeah.
They attack healthy cells. It's not nothing emotional. It's not nothing personal. It's not that they could have a choice to do something else. That's who they are. You can't get mad at them or take it personal or get emotional. That's just a defective. Any time in your life, any day, a certain percentage of your cells in your body have ceased to function properly and have become deformed. Right? This happens in your, that's a natural process in your body. But if you're feeding your body correctly and properly, your cells, you have a set of cells in your body, the hate cells, the divine, the immune system, they move to isolate and eliminate those cells. It ain't nothing personal. It's healthy.
So what are some solutions for the black family, like individuals and families? How do they start to, you know, move toward, you know, caring, developing, you know, raising the bar, you know, some ethics, morals, values, and connection. How do black families start doing that? The black community, what do they need to do?
First off, you need to reject. You need to reject. It's real simple. You know what I mean? A healthy advocate. That's great, because we got this publication called Obatan and Obama. See, the problem is that no matter how much you want to be a man, you can't be one if I give you the blueprint for something else. If I give you the definition, that's why they have Jay-Z and the mother fools around. Get somebody telling you you're a man by how many bottles of liquor you can buy and drink, how many girls you can screw. That's not a man. That's an insecure weirdo. You know what I mean? Anybody that can't maintain a healthy developmental relationship based on complementarity, you know what I mean? So as long as we have to denounce their ill nature, get back to our real nature and our real culture. Any child should be taught to review everything that they do. Our natural inclination is to harmonize with order. Fine order. You can evaluate anything. You know, everybody keeps talking to those spooky shit. Oh, I didn't know. That's bullshit. You come here knowing what's right and what's wrong. You know this particular activity is going to bring chaos to your life. You know you shouldn't have stole that thing, your cousin's watch when he left it. You know you shouldn't have stuck in him out. You know what I mean? You know what to do. You know what to do, and you know what not to do. You know what I mean? You have to choose to try to align every thought, action, and deed with divine order. And the seed of that order is already in place then. The divine seed of conscience, that little voice that you hear in the back there is always telling, steering you right, and you, as the church say you don't listen to, your spirit is always trying to tell you. Your ancestors are you brought all that with you. Your ancestors are there in there with you, advising you as much as they can whenever you listen. Set up a shrine. Every family should have a family shrine in the house so they can communicate with their honored ancestors. You don't want to communicate with just any ancestor because you got, you know, Uncle Ryan, the pervert, the child molester. You know what I mean? You don't want to invite him in. You know what I mean? You want to communicate
right.
with your honored ancestors, your ancestors that demonstrated, that fought and kept themselves straight, the ones that fought disorder, that rejected Christianity, rejected the crackers, you know what I mean? Rejected miscegenation, you know. So you want to evaluate everything. You know what to do. You can find out. You definitely want to reject homosexuality. You want to reject the whites and their offspring and all their perverse nature. All this is new stuff. Now they got this big campaign, you know, talking about the black people, the black family, the black has always been, you know, understanding and accepting to homosexuals. That's bullshit. We ain't never went down with that stuff. We ain't never had no big heart for no homosexuals. Now they're trying to convince us that we accepted that stuff. That's
right.
Not us. It's not who we are.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that either. That hasn't been acceptable behavior.
No, never
has. Neither has a whole lot of stuff that I see now, you know, and not to get off that subject, neither has a whole lot of things that's happening right now in terms of in the last 30 years that wasn't acceptable either. You know what I'm saying? Well, like now,
oh, yeah.
It's like it's a ton of things that seem to be more acceptable than it was 30 years ago.
But that's the benefit. You just said the answer 30 years ago. This just happened. They could flip us so bad in 30 years. We could flip it back. You know what I mean? And like I
right.
said, it all comes from a decision. You know what I mean? I tell kids all the time, man. You know, a man, and I'm talking about women too. But when a man realizes that another man has the power to kill his child anytime he feels like and demonstrates and exhibits the inclination to do so, so everything else becomes second. Everything else becomes nonsense. You're not interested in nothing else but removing that dynamic. No man wants to leave his children at the mercy of a madman.
Right.
You know what I mean?
We got 60 seconds, bro. You want to wrap it up? Anything you want to say before you go, real quick?
Do not allow this culture to remove your ability to hate. Embrace hate. Hate is healthy. Listen to that voice inside you. Your ancestors are always trying to guide you and tell you something straight. But fight. You know what I mean? I'm saying fight. Get up and build. Get with like-minded Africans and start the path of recovery. We're all recovering Africans.
Okay.
Great work.
We appreciate that. And thanks for coming on the show tonight, my brother.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity.
All right, brother. Until next week, I want to thank Sango Ahmed for being a guest on our show.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution revolution will not be brought to you by the shape of a war theater, and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news, and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl.